recording. Now the show is on.
We always have trouble starting the episode.
So I was hanging out in Brooklyn the other night.
Yeah, you were. Okay. Welcome to Game of Owns. It's a show. We have a special guest. Let's just say it right at the beginning, shall we?
Who is this special guest?
She's a new friend of ours who made friends with us last week. Now she's a different person because her life has changed over the past few days. Right, Rachel?
Yes. I am a whole new person.
What's it like being new?
I feel fancy.
I bet you feel a lot fancier after walking across all of that red carpet last Tuesday.
Yes.
So Rachel is a friend of the community of Game of Thrones, and she happily helped us out on Wick by covering red carpet for us last week. I didn't say the because I think you can just say red carpet, and everyone listening to the show right now knows that we are Game of Owns. This is our first episode following up all of the stuff that happened in New York that Micah was also in attendance to. So I feel like this is just going to be a big breather for all of us. Like,
time to celebrate a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
And brag a little.
It's so great to see that these events are happening again. And it's just one big, massive countdown celebration.
It is. And I really enjoyed reading Rachel's review. I thought it was, it's so interesting to, you know, how you kind of started out saying that you were, you're used to being that kind of fan who would be pressed behind the barricades, but you just kind of rode the subway in knowing that, you know, you weren't going to have to deal with those barricades this time around. And if anything, they were going to be protecting you as opposed to holding you back.
Yeah, exactly.
You were protected.
Yeah, I had friends that had been out there and they were freezing and I just sort of like strolled up and was like, you know, deuces and like walked straight into the press.
I'm with Wick and they're like, oh shit, we have this platter of cheeses for you as well.
VIP status.
I was looking at some of the pictures and I see this dragon that they had set up sharing the red carpet with you.
Yeah, I was outside the tent, so as the, you know, as the actors and crew would come up, they would walk by it because it was the red carpet went between the dragon and like what they called the fan pit, which was like photogenic.
Sounds deadly.
Yeah, it was like photogenic, nice fans that they had already invited. And then they stuck them up on some bleachers for, you know, so that they would be in camera.
Right.
I was going to say, is that like the bear pit? But then you said they were all photogenic. So
yeah, they were, yeah, they're all like the special, you know, nice looking, well-dressed fans.
Family of cast and crew and
maybe
cousins
HBO
twice
employees.
Removed.
Well, it seems like just from everything, because it's been quite a week for all of us in our own ways, but like, Just seeing the falling action from what has happened and just the takeoff of interest to all of this. I'm just continually shocked and mesmerized that our TV show here gets to have anything like this. Because I was just watching The Walking Dead last night and I can't remember the last time there was this huge gala for a show about zombies walking into barbed wire fences. You know what I mean?
It's true. Mm-hmm. Well, Thrones kind of has zombies, which is cool.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just cool. Yeah, we get to be a part of it. And not to mention Thursday night, which we haven't even spoken out loud about of yet. You were both there.
Yes.
And now I guess this officially makes Eric the only person on this episode that hasn't seen the first episode, which makes me sad.
So they screened it both nights then?
Yes.
Wow.
But you know what? Somehow I'm not feeling as if they actually took cell phones away from the cast of Game of Thrones the way that they took them away from fans at Barclays Center. And I'm on board with that. I'm really impressed that they were able to take thousands of people's cell phones and return them to the appropriate people at the end of the night.
Micah, did you turn your phone in?
Okay, I had to turn my phones, first of all, because I have one for work and I have a personal one.
Oh, he's
then,
so important.
He's got a bat line.
So how was that like getting it back?
Oh, it was fine.
I didn't do that.
Well, here's the thing. So I'm going to tell a little story real quick. So I get there and the phone thing goes over no problem. I knew from the email that I'd gotten that I was going to have to do that. But you know, I was coming from work and so I had my backpack with me too, which contained a laptop in it. And that obviously would also have to be checked. So I had already turned in my cell phone and I had gone through security at the little press entrance there. And the woman tells me, no, you're going to have to go all the way around to the front and check your laptop. I said, wait a second, this is crazy. Why can't I just check it right over here? So I go and talk to the security guys that I gave my cell phones to, and they're like, oh, well, if you got to go, you got to go. So then I go out the door, and I talk to the security guy that let me in, and he's like, no, you just got to talk to the HBO people. Like, let them help you out. Like, that's crazy. There's thousands of people out there. You're going to go wait on that line? I'm like, yeah, man, you know, by the way, I work for the NBA, the Nets play here. He's like, okay, I'll take care of you.
Also, I'm with Wick. All
the
right.
The real world, as in Westeros, it matters who you know.
It absolutely does, because I had no shame dropping that that card there, and it helped because my backpack says NBA staff on it, so it wasn't just like
I
was pulling the wool over his eyes. Like, I was ready to pull out a business card even. So,
oh, no, dude. That's like next level shit.
Not the
mic
and business card.
Yeah.
That's but really anyway. Great. I had a tote bag and a purse, and they said, do you have a phone? And I said, no, and I just went in.
And you had a phone, didn't you?
Wow.
Did you have a phone?
Yeah, I was really good
about it. Of course you had
a
phone.
I was good about it. I didn't take it out. I didn't like let anybody see it. I wasn't going to film anything.
Yeah, like, you were like, I might be radio silent for the next few hours because I'm planning on leaving my phone. And then it really wasn't radio silence. I didn't wonder. So you actually had your phone with you.
Wow. Well, you know, I saw.
It's okay.
I know what you're talking about, though, about them not confiscating the phones of certain people who were in attendance, because I was watching a lot of the press tweets that were happening, and certain people were taking photos of the cast at their tables, like sitting down, and it looked, everybody looked gorgeous. I mean, we have one of the most photogenic ensemble casts. I mean, not to mention one of the largest ensemble casts. But
are you talking about Goo, or are you talking about the TV show
Game of Thrones? Yeah. Well, okay. You know, we have our days too.
Yeah.
But
today is not my
Game
day.
Of Thrones. They were showing like. Even Roose Bolton, you know, in a suit. And I was like, that's awesome. Like, just, you know, these
did you check for mail? That's
costumes
what I would have done.
That you wouldn't see these guys in, you know, normally.
Right.
Oh, yeah, at the red carpet.
Even the actress who played Shay at Thursday's event, I was like, wow. And this is not meant to sound sexist at all or in any way offensive. But she looks totally different when she's wearing a shirt. It's just one of those things.
Okay,
so,
Eric.
I thought everybody looked great, and everybody was dressed up really well.
She's quite the potty mouth, by the way,
yes,
too. I think
really
every answer during that Q&A that she did at Barclays was bitch, shit. I was shocked. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought I had already spoken to her, you know, at the red carpet, and it was really funny because she was so. You know, like press ready, and she had her answers, and you know, she made like a little nice joke, and then the first thing she does when she gets up on stage at Barclays is just shout shit, like four times.
But imagine her situation. I mean, you saw the reactions to a lot of people's faces when they were walking out on that stage. I mean, Christian, you know, Maisie Williams, all of them seemed completely blown away by just, you know, taking the stage, which probably. Is not something that a lot of them are accustomed to in the sense of having that large of a crowd to speak to.
Yeah, I was trying to think, like, the only other comparable thing would be Comic-Con, and there's maybe, I've never been to SDCC, so it's like 4,000 people in those rooms?
Even then, you're talking about the difference between a place that mixes so many different things, and then a place this big and so targeted completely only for one thing, which is this show and the new episode.
Yeah. I know, Zach, you and I were talking about this, was it yesterday or recently? And just to me, what was so cool was the mix of people that you got there. In the sense that, you know, you were seeing people coming from work like myself, like these Wall Street type people. I'm not calling myself a Wall Street person by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, like you see people in suits and ties, and then, you know, you see these people who are fully decked out in costume. I saw some guy dressed as Daenerys, which was interesting.
Right.
And then you just kind of have your casual, you know, fans who have on these shirts that say Hodor or with all the names of the Stark children. And, you know, the complete contrast in people, but yet they're all there for the same thing, and that's for Game of Thrones and to watch the first episode of the season. So I really found that interesting to kind of watch. Like, where I was seated, I was literally right in front of a row that was open so that people kept walking past. So it was interesting people watching.
Did you get to do any of the, like, the photograph stations in the hallways?
No, I didn't. I did not. Did you?
Yeah, I didn't even try because I went there after work and it was so crowded by then that I really wanted to try to get some of the beer. I stood in line for a while and then I, you know, they started making the announcements. So I sort of just ran for my seat.
Now, were they serving Game of Thrones beer, or were they just serving what was on tap at kind of each of the concessions?
You know, it was supposed to be the red ale.
It was, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, Cogman said that he got his first taste of it there. So that was
where the hell was he? What
he was there. Him and his wife were there.
Say hello.
This is probably my favorite thing about the whole event, but I got a text from Christian like three quarters of the way through it. He was like, we're in the back right now eating cheesecake and sandwiches with George, just hanging out. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, like that. Not only, let's just forget about the kinds of conversations that are happening there behind the curtain. Let's just talk about the combination of both cheesecake and sandwiches.
And sandwiches, yeah.
Because usually you can only have one at once, but they really did it up for the show, and I'm very happy that they did. They did it right, too, I think.
This is a great dessert cart that they bring around at the Barclays Center.
Anything
so I'm sure. Yeah, no, it's exactly what it's like, and I can just imagine. Yeah, George, like, I'll take the lot. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's awesome. It was really just a great event, like a great fan event, and you know the fact that you get George R. R. Martin to show up, not only show up, but to address the crowd, to do a Q&A, to give away a fucking throne, which was awesome.
Oh, man, that lucky guy.
What was Mike. It like seeing him read off the same vows that you would a real king of Westeros to a real person in real life?
Well, he was trying to, but he kept getting drowned out by the crowd. It was it's awesome. I mean, it was funny because that guy was like one section over from me. And when I heard them say F6 and I'm in F5, I'm just like, oh man. But you know the key is on those types of things, you got to look for where the camera, like that the roaming cameraman is going, because they hit that guy with the spotlight almost instantaneously.
So that was I'm reading your report right now, or so I've already read it, of course. But
King Mike of Hoboken.
The guy was Mike Ross of Hoboken, New Jersey, and he looks very thrilled to be on that throne there. There's a photo of him that you attached, and he's in a suit and tie, you know, or a button-down shirt and tie, and I think it's quite terrifying, the possibilities of what any businessman or any Wall Street man or any guy in New York would do, anyone would do with that kind of power.
Yeah. His first decree was commanding George to finish the Winds of Winter. So.
Yeah, and George, of course, like, you know, made a face at that.
Well, King Mike's not off to a bad start then, I don't think.
I was actually really concerned, because I was like, all right, if you win that, it's worth like $30,000. So what are the taxes on that before
the 40%? Oh, yeah.
Well, let's be honest here. I'm more scared about him just getting it in general, because it might be worth 30 grand on paper, but I think there's a good handful of people that would give more than 30 grand for it, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, yeah. Then there's the issue of fitting it through your apartment door or upstairs.
If you're in a walk-up, you're screwed.
Or in the back of your car. You know,
I'm sure they deliver it.
Something like that.
Yeah, they deliver it, but then they have to cut a hole in your house.
They have to cut off a wall from your house.
They call the Kool-Aid man to do it. He's really proficient at busting holes in houses. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm just happy. I'm just really glad that this went so well, that we were able to see this happen, because there's been similar experiences throughout the years with Potter. And I know that that's kind of a thing that we recollect to a lot, because we lived in that. But not only because of that, because they're so similar. They're so similar in the ways of it's a story that's been turned into a kind of pop culture sensation when it's not really pop culture friendly, if you think about it. So the simple fact that this is happening and you've got these types of individuals like Mike is describing mixing with the nerds like us out there, and also just the really casual people that aren't necessarily like us that might be wearing normal clothes when they go, which is a pretty crazy shot.
They want to try and play it off. Oh, I'm going to the that Game of Thrones thing tonight at the Barclays.
Yeah. It's just great news, because even the premiere covers that you did, Rachel, I just got a sense from all of it and from all that we saw. And I was doing a live chat with Verizon while it happened, so I didn't get to watch the live stream, but I got to watch a lot of the things afterward, like the roundup videos, like the one that you tweeted with Finn actually confirming the high five, stuff like that. It just seems so joyous of an occasion, and I'm really happy that it's going well and not south, because events can really just not turn out well. But I haven't heard a single negative thing yet.
Yeah, I think New York is a really great place to have these things, because the New York fans are just hardcore. You know, every event, every, you know, the exhibition, and even the DVD release last year where it was 2 degrees, people were out there for hours and hours. So we're hardcore.
And you were talking to me about this before. I think it's a really good point to bring up, but you were saying how over the years, because you've been a part doing the fire and lunch stuff there in New York, and you've been very active in the community. So you were telling me just the scale of different sizes between the years and now how it's culminated into the Barclay event only last week. Like, that is pretty crazy when you think about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you think about back to the first moot, you know, the Winter is Coming moot that was right before the first season started. And there were like 40 people there. And Finn, but, and I think if they did, if it happened now, there'd be easily, you know, 300 people trying to pack themselves into that same space.
Maybe more, honestly.
Or more. Yeah. I mean, what they would let in. Yeah.
Right.
Easy.
Fire codes, that kind of thing.
I mean, and then the signing that they had at Barnes & Noble when Dance came out, you know, they had so many people that they couldn't let any more people in Barnes & Noble. And that was right after the first season.
Any of this familiar to you, Mike and Eric?
Yeah. No, I was
Which Barnes
&
Noble was it?
The one in Eagle
Square. There you go.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Perfect.
Right?
That's we know a lot about
we
that capacity
well.
Of that Barnes & Noble. Every time I go and visit Micah, I take him up to, I said, meet me at the Union Square Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. And we get geeky photos on the top floor. But love
How
it.
Cute.
The point that you raised earlier about Potter, you know, I thought it ties in well to talking about, you know, sort of the size now of Game of Thrones when you think about the fact that it basically mirrored a movie premiere. And the reason why I say that, I mean, I know that they had one last year in L.A., but, you know, I think about Potter specifically because of all the events that they had at Lincoln Center and, you know, all the red carpet events that took place there. And now you're telling me, though, Game of Thrones is going there and they're basically doing the same thing. And yeah. I'm trying to remember what article also I was reading it today. I think it was the Vanity Fair article with David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, and they were talking about how George might be the most anticipated author, you know, kind of with the exception of J.K. Rowling, you know, with Potter, you know, really kind of in our time just to produce. And I think the TV show has had such a huge role in why that is. You know,
oh, yeah.
Hasn't had that same level of pressure before the show came out.
Yeah, I think it's got to be hard to deal with. I mean, you know, sitting at Barclays Center, I had to sit by myself, so I was around a lot of strangers, and we were talking, and every single person was like, "Oh, he's just got to write. Why is he here? He just needs to write." And I'm like, you know, it hasn't even been 3 years since Dance came out. It's kind of like lay off, you know.
These
like,
are 1,000-page novels.
Yeah. And this is his legacy, and I think that we should give him a little bit more time, but people don't want the show to catch up with him. I don't know.
It's
I
about
feel like
instant
it's
gratification. That's the problem with our – I mean, it sounds so bad to say it, but like our society today, it's all about instant gratification. And if he can't produce that book, you know, in a quicker time frame that it took him to write the last one, then you know, people have a problem with that, and it's not right. I mean, like you said, it's his legacy, and I'd prefer he take the extra time and get it right. And have it the way he wants it to be and make sure he includes all the plot that he wants to, all the characters he wants to, and instead of having to feel like he's rushed to do it.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I think he is definitely feeling the pressure just from what I'm reading in the news. There's that report on Wick right now that says that he turned down a cameo in the show just because he couldn't take the time off to fly to Croatia because he's really busy and he has to start writing or finish writing rather. And even you said his opening words, Micah, at the Barclay event were, "I'm working on it."
Yeah, pretty much.
So people really have to be like, with every public appearance, he's probably got to get asked that question a thousand times. So it's unfortunate, but you know, it's kind of, on the other hand, being somebody who waited for books for years, you know, books that I liked and waiting for them to come out. I know the anticipation is rough and you do want to just experience and live those books. And I'm happy because I have a few more Martin novels before I get to that point.
Nothing compares to, you know, the dead space between Feast and Dance when there was no show, when there were no fan events. You know, like, we should be, you know, I'm grateful to have things to keep me occupied until everything comes out.
Not only that, though, too, because with A Storm of Swords, I mean, you leave characters in A Feast for Crows. You don't see them at all.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That must have been even harder because that's an even longer gap. So
oh, yeah.
With a lot of characters, you were waiting from A Storm of Swords to A Dance with Dragons to find out what the hell is going on with them.
Right, exactly.
And a few come to mind that would probably have drove me insane.
It was really hard. Actually, you know how like there's lots of, you know, sneak peek chapters coming out, and I'm not reading them because I can't. I just can't do that to myself.
I think I've read most of them.
You know, I've read like a couple sentences, but you know, and then I'm like, no, I can't, because then I'll just want more.
It's really funny how we tease ourselves like that. What the amount that we're comfortable with reading and then what we're not.
He kind of resembled an old lion. I'm just going to read you one
sentence.
That
was on the book cover.
Nobody could guess. Nobody could guess who that was.
It was on the inside sleeve. It was unbelievable. We were like, is Harry going to meet Godric Gryffindor? No.
There
is
a
door. Minister for Magic.
Yes.
A guy we'd never heard of.
You just spoiled it for anybody who hasn't read. But
It's Tywin Lannister. That's
yeah.
It.
Yeah. It's a crossover.
Any of the Q&A that interested you that you think we should talk a little bit more about? I mean, one thing kind of stood out to me more than the others. I will say, though, that Sam.
John Bradley.
He is fucking hilarious. He captivated that whole arena when he was talking. I mean, at least I thought so. Maybe I'm just biased because I'm a fan of Sam.
Huge fan.
I think it was all about Kit Harington's brown eyes, right?
Yeah, those, but he was even mugging for the cameras, you know? I mean, he was good. But he's kind of a master at that. You know, every time he does an interview, he's charming, he's witty, he gives the fans what they want, and that's a skill. It's definitely a skill. There are so many actors that are loved that they get up in front of their fans and, you know, they can't do it, but he really summons that up.
Yeah.
I love, and I would have loved to see this panel as well, but the way the actors interact with each other. For instance, Rachel, your report on Liam Cunningham and how heavily he believes that Stannis will be, you know, on the throne by the end of it all.
And, yeah, you said Stan the man, which made me laugh.
Stan the man.
Yeah. I was like, are you saying this to me right now?
I remember a tweet that Liam Cunningham wrote, or he tweeted back to the actress who plays Melisandre, and she had done like a follow Friday for the Lord of Light.
Oh, yeah.
And he replied, my arse.
My arse.
And it was just unbelievably hilarious. And that was a random day. They were probably like filming opposite ends of the planet and just interacting. And I thought, this is a great cast. They really get into the story. They're really, they're moved by it. They you can really engage them in a discussion. So that's really cool. Just how everybody is gracious. It really helps, I think, sell the whole package. Because they're enjoying it as much as we are.
Yeah, I asked Finn, you know, I thanked him first for, you know, being so gracious and interacting with the fans so much. And he said that, basically said, well, why wouldn't I? And I think that attitude is pervasive throughout the entire cast. You know, they interact on Twitter, they go to the events. They're just, I don't know, they're happy and I think they're proud of their work and I think that helps.
Yeah, I hope that we see that for the most part moving forward with anything that's similar because... You know, we were talking so much about Potter before and about the scale of all these things happening, but in reality, we're in such a better place now than we were years ago on a completely different story because all this micro sharing and actual mass communication that we're able to connect with people, not only through a website like MuggleNet or Wick, but in so many different ways, especially, you know, talking specifically about things like that. I just think it's a really beautiful time for a show like this to set an example for, I don't want to say fandom culture. I just mean, in general, the culture between people that are big fans of things made by other people. It's good that there's communication there because I think it enriches the entire process.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I think accessibility is so much, it's not that it's easier. I just think, or maybe it is easier and or just that the people are far more willing to interact, I think. You know, when you look at social media, the fact that, you know, all these different actors can really touch their fans with a tweet or a post and they can have conversation back and forth. Sometimes it's good conversation. Sometimes it's probably not so good. But, you know, I just think it's amazing that they're so open to doing this kind of thing. And, you know, I think some of the guests that we've had on the show are just a perfect example of that. You know, Rachel, you did something that I'm not sure that the other three, including myself on this podcast, would have been able to do. And that is you passed up the opportunity to talk to Emilia Clarke.
The mother of dragons.
And I just want to know, you know, what was going through your head at that time? And obviously you got a really great, you know, interview as a result of that. But be interesting to hear it directly from you as opposed to your written word.
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, she's you know, she's glorious, and she was a foot from me.
We need you to sell it to us, all right?
Well, she smelled nice, and her makeup was good, and she has that, you know, lovely note to her voice, and it's kind of like a spell, and everyone was just going towards her. But man, when I saw Michael, I just knew that I needed to talk to him. There's no way I could pass up talking to Roos. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would hate myself.
That's fair. Fair enough.
I had to congratulate him for, you know, his good work.
Yeah.
Killing Rob.
Yep.
Great job on doing bad things, buddy.
Girls really do love the bad guys, don't they?
We really do. I did. I congratulated him on being a hero. And he said thank you.
Does this mean that you... Where do you align yourself then? Because I guess we haven't asked you that. We don't normally ask anyone that, but let's ask you anyway.
Fire and lunch, we are all Freys.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, take this opportunity to tell people, because there might be a whole lot of people in the New York area that listen or click through sometimes, and they might
myself.
Be able to make, like, yeah, Mike, I mean, they might be able to make a whole bunch of new friends right here, right now, only by pressing play on something that didn't cost anything. So let's offer them that service if we can.
Yeah, Fire and Lunch actually came about because, you know, we were all fans that kept going to all of these events and running into each other. And so we became friends. We bonded over the show. And now we always get together. We have brunch and we bring food and do potlucks and trivia. And we actually have been doing a trivia tournament that goes on until April 6th. That's presented by the Upjumped Sellswords in Williamsburg, and we are kicking ass at that trivia. So if you think you can beat us, then look it up and come and beat us, because you're not gonna. Freys always win.
I'm just happy to hear about all of this. It's just all good, you know? Like, we're having a congenial conversation here. We did not have show notes listed out, anything to talk about. We literally spent the first handful of minutes talking to each other, getting Rachel's audio and stuff set up, just knowing that we were going to have a little chat and just spewing about all of these things that are so exciting. But if you, the listener, can walk away with anything from this episode, just know that the enthusiasm, the laughter, the glee, the joyfulness, all of it's real. Like, none of this is manufactured. It is such a good time to be a fan of something so interesting, of a story that is bringing thousands of people together. And in this case, a brand new person to our show. It's just, it's really fun.
I'm ecstatic. I kidding. A week ago, I was just trying to plan out how to win trivia or go get, you know, like go to a play or something and get an autograph maybe. And then I got to go interview people on the red carpet.
Just take all this as a sign that there is so much good to come. We've got Indie Pop Con at the end of May. We've got LeakyCon coming up as the summer is rearing its summer endingly head. All the warm weather creeping away. I can already feel it.
You know, that reminds me, guys, this week is the week of a wedding of fire and blood in Chicago. Ooh. Brewery Amagong. I'm going to get to try the new Thrones beer.
They're doing that in New York as well on Wednesday.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
So people listening, there's the next event that you can go to. Go try some beers with some of these people. Eric will be there. Michael will be there. Rachel will
be there. I just made
that
up right now.
I won't, but I want to be there, so I will be there in spirit.
Oh, cha-ching, it's a pun.
But yeah, before we go, there was one other thing that I don't know if it was really kind of looked at really closely afterwards, and maybe he said stuff like this before, but there was a question that got slipped in there to George from Christian, and it was from Facebook, actually. And the question was, could a stag really kill a dire wolf? And, you know, he jokingly said to Christian, well, a stag does kill a dire wolf. You know that if you read the books, which, you know, really got a good chuckle from the crowd.
Right.
But then it somehow diverted after he went into a little bit more of an explanation to talking about what could kill a dragon. And, you know, he ended that by saying, well, we know dragons can kill dragons. And yeah, that kind of never occurred to me before for whatever reason. And you know, in the reading of the series anyway, and I couldn't help but wonder if that was a little bit of a nod to events that may happen a little bit later in the series.
I think it was a nod to the Princess and the Queen.
We haven't read that on the show yet, so thanks for that.
Yeah,
we
should thanks. Read it. You know, currently in current seasons with Dany, there really aren't, as far as I know, enough dragons around to turn on each other. Unless he means...
Well, there's three.
The animal dragons are the people dragons, so...
Oh,
I see what you're doing there. Talking about people.
Oh, now that's interesting.
People versus actual dragons.
Well, if a dragon can kill a dragon, I mean,
and I won't say anything because I know.
I was gonna say, I'm like chewing on my hand
more than others, except for Rachel.
Micah, I noticed on your report you had the audacity to go and give your own already for this first episode.
I did.
Of the next season.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that spoilerish. I thought
it's
it was really funny.
Well, you guys have all seen it.
Eric, I think you'll really enjoy it.
Well, if you listening have further questions for Rachel, or perhaps you just want to say hello to us, Eric Skull, a good friend of mine and a person that's been on the show since the first episode, imagine that, has all of the details and ways in which this is possible.
Well, as Rachel was kind enough to mention, she can be found at Darth Rachel on Twitter, twitter.com/... Darth Rachel. Rachel Ghoul? Ghoul? What's that from?
Rachel Ghoul?
Okay.
Rachel Ghoul? Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like the Liam Neeson character in the in that Batman movie.
You mean Qui-Gon?
listeners of the show, recurring listeners will know and new listeners will find out. We are located at Game of Owns on Twitter. twitter.com/Game of Owns. We ask for owns for things and stuff. And also, we'll keep you up to date with all the latest news via winteriscoming.net, which is Wicknet on Twitter. And also, you can get a hold of us one of several ways. You can tweet us. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Game of Owns. We ask that you scrawl upon our wall anything that you may desire. And also email. That's what I was forgetting. Email contact@GameOfOwns.com.
Boom.
Awesome. You can also... leave us a rate and review. It's been a while, so plenty of new feedback is welcome over on iTunes. It is the month of March, so nothing less than 5 stars is acceptable. We do have a couple of new reviews. I'll save them for the next episode. Perhaps, you know what? I'm going to read one because I just like this person's username. The title of their review is CSI Westeros, and it's written by Naked Fable.
Of course it is.
Of course.
Can't wait.
And he or she said, or no, it's a he, sorry, he put his name down there. There isn't a more forensic discussion of A Song of Ice and Fire. So thank you to John Lee from Austin, Texas.
Thank you, sir. That was very kind of you.
Mr. Naked Fable.
Mr. Naked Person. Were you naked when you wrote that review?
I just want to thank Winter Is Coming for sending me to the premiere, because that was an amazing experience. Read my write-up on Wicknet. I also can be found at fireandlunch.tumblr.com and on Twitter at Darth Rachel.
April 6th is approaching faster than I think we all expected, so stay close to Game of Owns and to Wick, because there's just no other place to be.
That was Zach Louie.
That was Eric Skull.
That was Micah Tannenbaum.
That was good. I didn't even say anything.
Darth Rachel.
Sorry, Eric screwed me up earlier.
She's going to force choke you, man.
All right. Anyway, hold on. And that was Darth Rachel. What?
That can be her threat if no one reviews. She's going to force choke all of them.
Yes, I can do that.
Okay.
Organized. Thanks.
Okay.